So you were going to leave this afternoon?
We were going to, but now we must wait for the visitor that Aslan spoke about.
That is good sense. Come, help me feed the horses. A royal trumpet? How odd.
Open up in the name of the king.
Who is there?
His Royal Highness, Prince Kor of Arkenland, desires an audience of the Lady Erevis.
With me?
Wait until I open the gate. There. Come in. Come in.
His Royal Highness, Prince Kor of Arkenland.
The prince's attendants stood to one side and saluted as the prince himself came in. Then they withdrew and closed the gate behind them. The prince bowed, and a very clumsy bow for a prince it was. Erevis curtsied in the Calormene style. Then she looked up and saw what sort of person this prince was. She saw a mere boy. He was bareheaded, and his fair hair was encircled with a very thin band of gold, hardly thicker than wire. His upper tunic was of white cambric, as fine as a handkerchief, so that the bright red tunic beneath it showed through. His left hand, which rested on his enameled sword hilt, was bandaged. Erevis looked twice at his face before she gasped and said,
"Why, it's Chester!" "I'm afraid it is. Where are Brie and Whin?"
"In the stable. I'll go and get them for you."
"Thank you. Look here, Erevis, I do hope you won't think I'm all dressed up like this to try and impress you or make out that I'm different or any rot of that sort, because I'd rather have come in my old clothes, but they're burnt now. And my father said that I..."
"Your father?"
"Apparently King Loon is my father."
"Oh."
"I might have guessed it, really. Corin being so like me. We're twins, you see. Oh, and my name isn't Shasta, it's Kor."
"Kor?"
"Brothers' names run like that in Narnia. Kor and Corin, Dar and Durin, Col and Colin, and so on."
"Kor is a nicer name than Shasta."
"I suppose it is."
"How did King Loon find out who you were?"
"Well, Corin and I are twins, and about a week after we were both born, apparently, they took us to a wise old centaur in Narnia to be blessed or something. Now, this centaur was a prophet, as a good many of them are, I hear. Well, as soon as he saw Corin and me, it seemed this centaur looked at me and said, 'A day will come when this boy will save Arkenland from the deadliest danger in which ever she lay.' Mm. Well, so my father and mother were very pleased. But there was someone present who wasn't. A chap called Lord Barr, who had been a Lord Chancellor or something like that. It turns out he was not only an embezzler, but a spy for the Tisrock. So as soon as he heard I was going to save Arkenland from the great danger, this Lord Barr succeeded in kidnapping me. He took me in a boat down the winding Arrow River to the coast. There a ship met him, and we were away. But my father got wind of the scheme and set chase. There was a battle, and Lord Barr was killed. But I wasn't to be found on the ship. Apparently Lord Barr entrusted me to one of his knights and sent us both away in the ship's boat. That boat was never to be seen again, except by Arshish, who discovered it after Aslan pushed it ashore."
"Oh, and the knight?"
"He must have starved himself to keep me alive."
"This prophecy from the centaur, it has been fulfilled now, of course, by your warning."
"Everyone seems to think so."
"Chester, I mean Kor, don't you feel proud?"
"I think I feel a bit scared."
"Chester, I mean Kor, oh bother, there's something I've got to say at once. I'm sorry I've been such a pig, but I did change before I knew you were a prince. Honestly I did, when you went back and faced the lion."
"It wasn't really going to kill you at all, that lion."
"I know."
"You know about him?"
"Yes, we met." "Your hand is bandaged. Is that a wound from the battle?"
"A mere scratch. If you want to know the truth, it isn't a proper wound at all. I only took the skin off my knuckles, just as any clumsy fool might do without going near a battle."
"Still, you were in the battle. It must have been wonderful.
It wasn't anything at all like I thought it would be.
Oh. I suppose you'll be living in Anvard now.
Oh, I'd nearly forgotten what I came about. Father wants you to come and live with us. Oh? He says there's been no lady in the court since my mother died. Oh, do, Aravis. You're like Father and Corin. They're not like me. They've been properly brought up. You needn't be afraid that...
Oh, stop it or we'll have a real fight. Of course I'll come.
Here are the horses, sire.
Hermit, thank you for everything.
You're welcome, my son.
Well, well, look at you.
Prince Chester, is it?
Cor, actually. I've come to take Aravis back to Anvard.
I see. And would you like us to give you a ride?
Oh, no. We couldn't do that. You see, except in war, where everyone must do what he can do best, no one in Narnia or Arkenland would ever dream of riding a talking horse.
Oh, I have a lot to learn with my return to Narnia.
Buck up, Bree. It's far worse for me than you. You aren't going to be educated. I shall be learning reading and writing and heraldry and dancing and history and music, while you'll be galloping and rolling on the hills of Narnia to your heart's content.
I mean, that's just the point. Do talking horses roll? I mean, supposing they don't. I can't bear to give it up. What do you think, Gwyn?
I'm going to roll anyway. I don't suppose any of them will care two lumps of sugar whether you roll or not.
Well, if we're not to give you a ride, then this is goodbye?
No. I'd like you to come along, if you want. You can stay at Anvard, and then go on to Narnia from there.
I'd be happy to.
Bree?
Well, lead on, Prince Cor, to Narnia and the North.